listener production.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Jock and Journo podcast. Or we are excited for this one because we have a special guest. My name is Jay Clark. I'm joined by the six-time All-Australian, five-time best and fairest, when he hates me saying that. It's Scotty Penderbury. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you going? Very excited for today.
Not only is this man one of our Collingwood favourites, I feel like, and don't you reckon, Scott, that Braden Maynard is one of every football fan's favourites? Don't you think they just warm to his...
The bros.
The competitiveness and the sort of wrecking ball style that he plays. Hello, good morning to you, Braden. How are you?
Morning, gents. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
How excited are you about being on a podcast? Because I remember, I know you're the captain of the footy club now and you've climbed the mountain, but sort of going back early days... You know, when it came to speaking in front of a group,
yep,
or being a bit of a presence in the footy club, how did you go back then with this sort of stuff?
No, shocking. I wasn't great at all, but I did know that at some stage I was going to get better with public speaking, mm-hmm, and speaking on podcasts or whatever it may look like. I did know that I was going to get a lot better at it. I did practice a bit at the Pies and sort of when I was away from the club, I did practice a lot, and I did get told that the only way you're going to get better is if you just keep doing it. And I didn't want to do that, but I sort of just came to the conclusion that I have to do it. So every now and then I'd do some extra media stuff just to learn and to get better at.
He gave one of the all-time great best and fairest speeches.
Which was a reality check. And from that point on, I thought, no, that's it.
Crown Palladium was on their feet.
No. What happened?
1,000 people. What year was this? You come?
I reckon it was a year before sort of COVID kicked in.
Yeah, 2018 or 19. Well, we just had a few beers, a bit of Dutch courage and got up and just delivered. And it was very authentic, bros.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
But yeah, everyone loved it.
No, I thought it was embarrassing. I was bloody sweating and it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all.
There's been some massive moments of your career. When I get to him, you nearly decapitated Dylan Clark this season after you went off to Nick Dacos. You got Ed Langdon last year after the All Duck No Dinner, and you went to bat for your good mate Geordie DeGoey, and I want to speak to you about that a little bit later on as well. But what did it feel like to be captain of your footy club at the weekend, mate? Because you've always sort of said you're a bit reserved at times, but when Fly said... and I know you're in the leadership group, mate, you're captain this week. How did you feel about that?
It's pretty surreal. I obviously a huge honour to Captain Collingwood. I'll be honest, I never thought it would happen. But to be able to captain the boys and lead the boys out for, it'll probably be only one game. I think maybe Howie or Tay will be this week and the following week or whatever it looks like. But true honour, very surreal. It was... sort of leading up to the game, I was thinking about it, thinking about what I should say before the game and whatnot, but I can't believe how quick it actually went. A little bit nerve-wracking, but I guess it's another step in the right direction.
Did you find it different? Like, you know, it's like you just go out and play every week.
Yeah.
So I found when I first got it, you say, just do yourself, and then all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't know, it's almost like there's an added thing because it's like, it's not so much about you anymore. Not that it ever really is, but then when you become captain, even if it's for one game,
yeah.
Did you find that it's different? Even though you try not to make it to
be? It was different. You try not to overthink it, but I'm an overthinker, so I was thinking about it that day quite a lot. But
that's stressing.
Yeah, it was a great experience. So, like, doing the coin toss, I absolutely loved the coin toss. That was great fun.
Even though you didn't get to do anything, because they get to pick.
Yeah, exactly right. But I still won it, so I'll claim it. it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks, because I did really enjoy it, and it's something I'll never take for granted, that's for sure.
You're certainly a competitor and a combative beast on the field. I remember the night you got drafted, I spoke to the list manager, Derek Hine, at the time, spoke about Geordie. He said, well, powerful, explosive, can do special things, can win the ball. I said, what about the young man, Maynard? And he said, and I remember this, he goes, he's got a big bit of Luke Hodge about him. He said, he's tough. So he goes hard, he'll die for you out there. They were his words, and I reckon he nailed it, Decker.
Not far wrong.
Well, yeah, there's some pretty big words from Deck. I've had a few conversations with him over the years, and we have a really good connection. And I did speak to Collingwood probably more than any other club in my draft year, so I did have somewhat of an idea that I'd end up at Collingwood if that happened. And I pick 30 came around, and they called my name out, and I thought I was going to go earlier, but I think maybe a few clubs were a bit bit iffy about me.
Why?
With my with my social side. But hey,
I remember before the draft, I always like to ask Decker who you're going to take with the first pick. I don't really just give me two options because he always used to say, "Couldn't believe this bloke here was here at pick 30." Like he always would say it.
Yeah,
so I said, "I think we had pick 5, didn't we? It was our first pick."
Yeah, pick 5, and then Darcy, and then myself, We actually ended up taking about 9 or 10 players that draft year.
And I remember saying to Decker, though, pick 5, who are you going to take?
Mm.
And he goes, it's either Degoey or Maynard at pick 5 for us. And he's like, and as he always does, he's like, I think Degoey will take him, and then Maynard's probably a better chance to maybe be there, but doubt it.
Pick 5.
Yeah, so it was a flip of the coin for the Bras, and he was a bit flat that he went 30.
That's right, it doesn't matter. It's
just got to get in, don't you?
Yeah, just got to get in. Don't bother me.
One of my favourite moments of the season last year was when Ed Langdon, the Melbourne wingman, said that Collingwood was one trick ponies. All duck, no dinner. He said. Now I got told that you were the first one to put the clip in the Collingwood WhatsApp group. Was that right? You said, boys, have a look at this.
That's incorrect. No. It was funny because leading up to the game, obviously heard it and we all heard it and then we spoke about it before the game and funnily enough I was the first bloke to get my hands on him. It's quite funny. You just see
it come from the centre bounce.
Yeah.
And it went wide. You know, it's almost like that, the poetic justice of the story. It's like the big story.
Yep.
Who's the one guy from Collingwood you probably don't want to get your...
The one person.
The ball bounces like sideways back to Langer's where Bruzz is and then it was just... I loved it because it just added the theatre to the game.
Absolutely. And you see Dip come from bloody 10 deep and just lay his elbow straight into his face.
That wasn't me.
He had about four elbows in his head. I felt bad for him, but it's all part of the game.
What did you say to him in that moment? No, I heard you.
No, I actually didn't say anything. I was just rubbing my head up against his head. A bit of tension in the first couple of minutes, but it was a big game. It was a very big game. But it's all part of it.
The theatre of those moments adds so much, really, it didn't matter. Like that happened in the first 20 seconds of the game. Then you just go, I think they kicked the first goal.
Yep.
Doesn't really matter, but the theatre, like the crowd loved it. The commentators went choppo.
It was amazing.
It's cool to have that. And I think it happened this year with Port Adelaide. Oh, it was Bruz again who said, you got to bring your sort of A game.
Oh, yes.
Because we're on top of that, whatever. And then, the game, though, going over there was so much more theatre. And this is a big game. And it just adds. But it's yeah, I don't know. You just sort of I loved it. I think Fly said it as well, loves that theatre and it builds it up and helps promote the game. Because once you start, it's just footy again. But it adds just that little bit extra, which I love. And I don't reckon we do enough because everyone's so worried about getting cut down or you shouldn't say stuff like that or you shouldn't do this. But you guys have a field day when that sort of stuff comes out for right or wrong reasons, but it's awesome.
Oh, it just adds more theatre and interest in the game. Mm. Did you feel any different coming step in that Port Adelaide game having said they have to bring our A game?
I felt like what I said wasn't even that bad, really.
It wasn't. It was fine.
Yeah, it was so fine. But then I think, Ken might have taken it a little bit too far during the week with what he said. But,
my mum and dad were at the game. And, I've played a lot of footy.
Mm.
And I was having breakfast with mum and dad. And as I was leaving, dad goes, make sure you look after yourself tonight. I was like, what? Is it going to be a big fight or a Royal Rumble? But, because everyone gets caught up in the emotion and the build.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he's like leaving. Scott, look after yourself.
Yeah,
same as every other game.
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
So you've got inside the inside your Collingwood jumper, you've all got something written, and I don't even think we've spoken. What have you got in yours, Scott?
Can't tell you.
It's that secret, is it?
Mine is, but everyone's seen his. Mm.
Why is his so secret?
Well, because no one's seen it. You only know the ones you've seen. He's got his jumper ripped off. He's about 10 times this year, so you're going to see it.
Yes, and there was a bit of Devin Robinson about you when your jumper came off too.
I wasn't quick to get it replaced.
Yeah, a few boys have had their jumpers ripped off this year, and I think it's been shown in the media.
So tell us about that. In. Yours is what?
No, his is competitive beast,
yeah, mine's
isn't it?
Competitive beast.
Tell us about that.
Surprise, surprise.
Mm. Yeah, surprise, surprise. It's pretty much what I base my game on, just competing to the best of my ability for the full four quarters until the final siren. I'll do whatever I can to win every contest, to halve the contest, but it's just something that I feel like I've always had since a junior. I've always been competitive, love the aggressive and contact side of football, and I feel like I've used it as an advantage, that's for sure. And I just, love going out there and laying big tackles and doing all sort of stuff. So, I feel like it's a great trait to have.
Alex Neil Bullen tackle just about the best one you've laid? I've seen the footage of you.
I think it is number one.
Maynard! What about the steamroller? Neil Bullen didn't know what hit him. Extraordinary stuff, and on cue, as Chu said, their front half pressure. Look at that on the Harvey Norman. He mounted him, Chief.
I'll tell you what, the Walters one when we played Freo a few weeks ago is probably up there.
Jackson should mark. Got his mitts to it, couldn't hang on. Absolutely. Polax was Walters. He got set on his ass, bounced up. Left foot snap misses. Just a behind.
Is he still alive?
The brothers come in. Harvey Norman replay. Did not see him. Foot in the hoop.
Combination of tackle and bump, wasn't it?
Yep. It was
good.
Everything the Bruz lives for.
Still trying to
the
dig
Neil
him up.
The Neil Bullen one was, it was almost like a jiu-jitsu move. Yeah, like a running bear hug.
I think I caught him because he sort of jumped and I caught him when I was midair. So,
yes, extra velocity.
Yeah, I was actually quite scared after the game. I got a few messages and from randoms, but I got a call from Shan the next day saying they're going to review it. So I thought, am I going to get a couple of weeks here? But it was actually all good. It was a pretty clean tackle, I thought. So
So take us back, Bruzzy, the start of your journey at Collingwood. You came in, and the great man here, I mean, rumour has it or legend has it that Scotty had to call you in, or you had a meeting with him, you had a meeting with the leadership group. What happened, Scott, back in the day, back in Bruzzy's first season? Because he obviously had a lot of talent.
I think it's like when you start, and like you can talk to this Bruzz as well, it's like, how did you find the start of your career, like adjusting from year 12 TAC Cup to year 1, year 2 AFL? Like, because like footy in year 12 and that, you can still, you know, go out on the weekends, you can still do all this because no one knows who you are. But then when you get drafted, especially to like a big club, people start to know who you are. You played some games earlier, you played a lot of games in your second year as well. So people start to realise who you are, and then you realise as well the game's fairly demanding. Mm-hmm. Like, so you can't get away with a lot of this stuff. So even if you want to talk to that, like your development from year 12, first year, second year, when sort of, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And then we had to have a bit of a chat just to see where you're at.
Well, yeah, I definitely didn't have my priorities right. I have spoken about it a bit, but it is a big jump from year 12 to going to the AFL system. Mm. It is very demanding, and my work-to-life balance wasn't great at all. Mm. Like, I didn't understand what was expected of being an AFL player. I mean, I thought you just sort of get through the week and then play on the weekends, which obviously you can't be doing that. Like, I never really did extras. I sort of just went on talent. But as a couple of years went by, I didn't really change much, and I had to have a conversation with Dip and a few of the boys. And from that conversation, I put plans in place. And there was one year where I was really strict with what I did, and we put like curfews in and other sort of rules that I had to go by, and I did follow them, and I felt like I had a pretty good year, but it has to go for longer than just a year. And I feel like I've just been able to learn a lot from that sort of one year and those conversations. So, Dip, I do thank you for that, and the other boys that were in the leadership group. I think it was about 15 blokes in the leadership group back then. But
what was it like being in that moment?
Yeah, I seriously think in the leadership group back then there was 10. There would have been 10.
Yeah, there was about 9 of us.
Right.
So when I got pulled into the leadership group, there was sort of 10 big boys just staring at me. I was in my first or second year, whenever it was. And it was intimidating. It's
pretty humbling.
Yeah, very intimidating. But I guess that's what happens.
Yeah, like, it's not so much reading, like in the first, second year, like reading the Riot Act and like this is, it's more trying to help them because, as I said, like your first year, you've got no idea. You're just doing the training program that's in front of you and you don't know what you don't know. But then all of a sudden when you put a plan in place and you're like, right, on the weekends, like if I go out, I'm going to be home by, you know, midnight, 1 a.m. During the week, I'm going to try and eat like this. I'm going to do 2 extra things. And then that starts to snowball. Mm. You feel good. You start playing better footy. Then you feel really good. You start playing better footy. And then you make it at the grade and you feel like you're a consistent performer. But then the challenge with AFL is that's just 1 year. Mm. And then you got to do it again.
Yeah.
You got to keep doing it, rolls over. And then all of a sudden, all the things that are distractions, you realize you can't do them anymore. But if no one grabs you and helps you learn that, if you don't have senior players around, you're never going to know. You'll just go, well, this is what everyone's doing, so I'm just going to do it as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, I feel like a lot of guys could fall through the cracks, and I feel like as a senior player, it's your responsibility, and that's Bruzz's responsibility now, like as a senior player in the leadership group to help younger guys if he sees that. Like, and he's better to speak to it. It means more coming from him than me because he can grab these guys. Hey, I went through some of this stuff. And it's not really your fault, but let's work on these 2 or 3 things here, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I spent my first year out of high school up at the Snow for a year, and it's fair to say there weren't a lot of extra gym sessions or concentration on my meal plan. So the gap year coming out of school, you know, I loved that time out, that time to relax.
That's the hard thing with a lot of guys now. We don't get – there's no gap year for these guys. So I remember for me it was year 12. Well, yeah, year 12, I'd finished year 12 for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then I moved to Melbourne, drafted on a Friday, moved to Melbourne on a Sunday.
Yep.
2K time trial on a Monday.
Yep.
Like Nathan Buckley's my new teammate. It's like, geez, I'm 17.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I was living in Sale.
Yeah.
So it happens really quickly. You don't get a gap year. And that's the other thing that's really hard is, especially for guys, I reckon, who stay near where they, like, you know, you grew up in the mean streets of Brighton. Like, it's tough because, like, you still have all your friends right near you.
Yeah.
And they're all 18, 19, 20. They're going out. They're doing what you want. And, of course, they're going to go, hey, bros, we're going to go out this weekend, a few beers. Like, we're 18, city, like, the lure, let's go. Whereas the guys, like, I have to move away. So it's like all my mates are in Sale going out. I'm 3 hours away. So I'm like, well, I don't really know anyone in Melbourne. So I'm just going to sort of stay home for the weekend. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's definitely a big challenge because you've got to go from being 17 or 18 to 26 straight away.
I think I texted you one day. It was like January 10 or January 15 on a Saturday, and you said that you had a 6 a.m. or 8 a.m. gym session Sunday morning.
Yeah.
The next morning. I'm not sure. Maybe you, maybe Geordie. One of you, I think, was going with you, but in the middle of January, 6 or 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Well, the worst time of being an AFL player is Christmas break. Yeah. Everyone is on like full relaxation mode. And we are literally in the middle of the probably hardest block. Everyone's like, you've got Christmas break. That's when you got to do all the work over that period of time. That's a solid period.
But the same stage, like you're drinking a lot because you're with your family, you're eating a lot, and you sort of got to work out a lot. So you definitely have to find the balance. But, yeah, it's a bit of a challenging couple of weeks.
I was once running in Perth on Christmas morning. I couldn't sleep, so I get up early and ran. And I saw the three Selwoods coming at me over there in Perth up near Trigg. So the discipline is quite an achievement. But did you feel like that penny dropped and that you changed after this sort of feedback? Because since then you've been incredibly consistent.
Yeah.
For the bulk of your career.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I definitely know now, and I'm still learning, but I definitely know now what's needed to sort of play week in, week out.
Yep.
Because you definitely can't go and play and then go out and sort of do what I used to do and just be an idiot or whatever it looked like. But I know now that what's needed sort of during the week, training, extras, to get your body right to play week in, week out. You can't be doing that stuff. So I very thankful, very honored to sort of have these people around me to have chats with me. But now I'm old enough to now realize that I can't go and do that stuff that I was doing. So I my priorities in life right now and at the moment are, just feeling good, healthy weekends. Yes, I do like to see my mates every now and then for a beer or two and catch up. But, sort of staying in, watching a movie, going to the movies, waking up early on a Sunday morning, right, going to the beach, just relaxing.
Change,
I feel so much better and mentally I feel a lot better as well. So, I feel like it's definitely helped.
You mentioned your mates. You do seem like an incredibly loyal person, Bruzzy. You strike me as a very loyal person.
Yep.
And in the midst of the Geordie Degoey Bali blow-up, middle of last year, it was at June 2022, he was having some time off. The whole world was caving in on him. You remember that period? It was bananas, wasn't it? You guys put up with a lot of attention at the football club, but there was a whole lot more cameras. It was dominating everything. And at that point, it really did seem like it was unclear whether Geordie was going to stay at the football club. His future really was up in the air. I spoke to you after a game. I can't remember if it was St Kilda or Essendon or something like that. And I knew you were tight with Geordie, obviously. And I said, Braden, what about your mate Geordie? How's he going? What are you thinking? And your exact words were, I really miss him. I just want him back here. I want to give him a hug. And the coach, Fly McRae, said sort of something similar. He said, he's got a great heart, Geordie. He said, these are his words. He said, he's a really loving, caring person. Because we saw the video on the Bali stuff and, rightly or wrongly, seems like he's a bit of a party boy or hooligan or whatever. And then you paint this picture of him. You said, I just want to get him back. This is where he belongs, right? He's part of our family here and he can do it, right, with a bit of help. I thought it was really strong in the moment because you went into bat for your mate. And then since then, It's been a complete success story. But can you take us back to then? Because at a time when things were really uncertain, didn't know whether he was going to stay at the football club, you really went into bat for him. Why was that?
I did. I do remember that. It's a bit of a hard one because I got drafted with Jordan. We definitely have a bit of a unique sort of relationship and connection. And yes, he is one of my best mates at the club. He has made a few mistakes, but no matter the mistakes he makes, I'm always there for him. And those comments were exactly how I was feeling. Mm. I felt like having time away from the club was a good thing, but also I felt like that he probably could have been around the boys because we would have really welcomed him back and got around him, and then it would have taken his mind off a few things. But each to their own. I do feel like, the relationship we have is pretty special. Like, he is a really loving and caring guy. Like, he has got a big heart. Yes, he likes to muck around and have some fun around the club, but if push comes to shove, like, he's a really good dude and a really, really caring person. So that's all that matters really in my eyes. And he's obviously really loyal as well and trusts the club with everything. So yes, he's made a few mistakes, but far out, doesn't everyone?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've always said, like, and my missus said it best. He's like, if I was ever out in Melbourne,
Alex would be listening.
Without me, and I was like, if she ever got into trouble, what sort of teammates would I want there with her? And it's like Geordie and Bruz. Like, she would be safe as houses if anything ever happened. And then also with kids, if I ever bring my kids in, it's like Geordie and Bruz are always the best two by a mile. Yeah. Or happily let them look after them for a few hours, not the whole day, but for a few hours. But yeah, like, stuff like that. It's like the stuff that you don't see with these guys that, big hearts, extremely loyal. You know, Bruz has got mad white line fever, but off the field, big cuddly teddy bear off the field. So
that's why
I think guys love them and are drawn to them because of their personalities and they bring the group together.
You are a hugger. You are the most huggable AFL person. You dish out hugs. Like, sometimes you knock a bloke over and then you pick him up. You pick your opponent up.
I'll never forget. I actually did it once.
They fell over the white line, so he picks him back up. Yeah.
Well, that's it. No, I actually remember picking up a few blokes after a big tackle or whatever it may look like. And Dip would actually, I remember one game he told me not to do it. I don't think Dip liked it. So
he's a hard ass like that, isn't he?
Dip's different in that way, but I sort of like it. But if someone's on the ground, whether it's my teammates or opposition, like, I'm going to go over and help them up. But it was quite funny when Dip told me not to do it. But that was a while ago. I don't think you remember it, but it was pretty funny.
That was back in the days when, and we were talking about this yesterday at the club, sort of when he was cutting his teeth as a player.
Mm.
When was your first year? Like, I'm shocking, and you think I'm taking the PISS, but I'm shocking with when people started and how old they are, like, really bad.
15?
So he's, I don't know,
2015,
maybe,
yeah. 2015 so like was my first year.
17, 18, I reckon. That's when you were starting to be like, I belong here, and you were in some of those one-on-one battles. Who were your favourite one-on-one? Because that used to be a bit back in the day when the magnet board got circled. Maynard, Toby Green, circle the matchup. This is a big matchup. Bruz, if you get this done, we win. Like, who were some of your favourites, or who made you the most nervous?
Liam Ryan was always one that was pretty tough. He's a really good player. But I'll never forget through 2018, 2019, some of the matchups I had on Toby Green. Yeah, crazy player, really good, really hard to play on. But, that was sort of back in the day when you did have a preferred matchup and there was a lot of tension built up before the game. After the game, there was a lot of media around it. But, I thrived in those situations and I still do, but we don't really do that anymore. But, it was pretty crazy, like, only in my sort of third, fourth year and having these big matchups. But that's what I loved doing.
I think I remember that was 2018.
And in the finals.
GWS had beaten up, the Bulldogs the week before.
Yeah.
And then I reckon we spoke that week because you played GWS and I said, well, what happens if they bring that stuff? And you said, bring it on.
Yeah.
We'll be ready, Toby.
Was that at the second final?
Yes.
So we lost to West Coast. They beat the Bulldogs and then we played them at the G.
Yep.
Then we won that, crossed over and played Richmond.
That's
right. Yeah, I remember the build up to that game.
It was on.
Yeah, it was. But it was, again, it was a massive, like,
one-on-one.
Even in the media, it was Maynard versus Green.
Yeah.
I remember coming out that week. I think we had all the media come in and talk to us. So I actually came out and said, I'll be on Toby, blah, blah, blah. And then I remember Bucks having a chat with me and he wasn't too happy that I'd said that. So
you're always going to play on him.
Yeah, I think I was.
Calm down,
but
Bucks.
Was it yeah, bring, did you say bring it on? Why do I feel like that's what you said, bring it on or something?
I think I wrote the
story. I feel like I'm getting all the memories.
Yeah, I remember saying something, but I feel like I just need to shut my mouth.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, that's the theatre.
Yeah. I know.
How much more exciting was it? It wasn't like it changed your attitude.
Yeah.
But it's like fascinating though.
You've definitely got to have a filter on what you say, but I guess it does definitely add some...
Yeah, Toby knew you were coming to him, Brazzy. I can guarantee you that. What about you? We talked about your leadership and looking after your kids. You looked after Nick Dacos because whenever the opposition tries to tag him, in particular the Swans, Ryan Clark went after him. Remember, Clark kicked that goal and then went straight up to Nick and tried to rub it in his face.
Yeah, 10 of them did, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you went through the pack of Swans players like a bowling ball and went straight after Clark and I think Haywood. Well, what was that moment like? Because you clearly...
Well, it cost me a couple of K, so...
Did it?
Pass the hat around.
No, I think we actually did pass around and everyone chipped in, which I'm very thankful for. But, I spoke to Triple M not too long ago and I just spoke about how I've got a very protective nature and any one of my teammates I'm going to protect no matter the situation. So... every bloody week it's with Nick and someone targeting him, so whoever targets him gets targeted by us. So that was just one of the games where he probably got targeted a little bit more, and Clark had kicked that first goal and then there was about 10 blokes just getting to Nick, and then Tom Papley just went up behind him and smashed him with an elbow and then it was pretty much on. But I love protecting my teammates and I love sort of being by their side, and I feel like everyone's got that sort of connection and willingness to help each other out and protect each other. So it's great to be a part of.
Is that why Nick hangs around? Yeah.
Well, it's funny. His mum and dad actually thanked me after the game for looking after him. They thank me every week. So it's quite funny, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
It's very cute.
Hey, off the field, mate, what's happening? I know you do some work with a special school, the Port Phillip Special School, and I think now that's Watability, isn't it?
It's Watability, yeah. It's just like a mentoring. It's pretty much mentoring for kids, adults of all ages with disabilities. Yep. So pretty much you take maybe one day or 2 days a week and go spend time with them for a four-hour block, take some weight off the parents' shoulders and just sort of go shopping, bowling, whatever it may look like, but you just sort of take them out of the house for a bit. And it's quite fun. I do get a lot out of it, but sort of lately I haven't really been doing it as much. I'm really interested in recruiting, so I've had a few talks with Decker, and I'm looking into that because I feel like recruiting is something that I really want to do, and I really love watching football. And I do go watch Brighton Grammar a few times every now and then on a Saturday, and I generally have a love for watching football, so, and especially young talent. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I'm looking into that at the moment, which is pretty exciting.
10 years ago, if you had just said that, I would have just like literally fallen off my chair. I love watching footy. I'm interested in recruiting.
Breaking down the game plans.
Some people don't actually realise, but I do love like watching football. Like, I do watch a bit of football on the weekends, but there's some games that I can't watch because I actually get too invested in it. Like the Carlton-Melbourne game weeks ago when Carlton won by a point. Like, I after the game, I was actually like shaking because I was so invested in the game.
Wow.
And I think there's a lot to play out in the last sort of bit of the year. So, close games I can't watch, or good teams I can't watch because...
Punch the TV.
White line for you.
I do enjoy watching football.
Well, can I tell you what a principal at the Port Phillip Specialist School, Juliet Cooper, said about you? And there's this great photo of one of the students face painting your face, and Geordie's sitting next to you, and he's losing it. Like he's pissing himself, but you're there and the kids having a great time painting your face. Principal said he's fantastic with their kids and they are so excited to see him. He does all these clinics, he does handballing skills, they catch, they mark, and they just love being able to touch the footy. He said, but you can only build that relationship when you can be patient and stay calm, you know, because there are challenging situations. He said he's been able to build that relationship with the kids, you know, despite how tricky it can be, you know, complex needs, complex behaviours. And this is the bit that I love. Principal Cooper said his ability to remain calm and not be thrown by a difficult situation has been great, been very patient, understanding, wonderful and helpful. Keeps very calm, and his patience On the field.
On the field, I'm just completely off my head. Yeah, but I'm not too sure what happens.
But you say how much you got out of it. Like, it must be incredibly rewarding for you.
Yeah, very rewarding. I did get a lot out of that. Some of the relationships I built with the students here and the teachers, very grateful for those. I really enjoyed my time there, and I'd go in there day a week or twice a week, just depending on the schedule. And I got a lot out of it, and the kids did too. And just seeing the smile on their faces was something that I'll cherish forever. Like, some of the relationships I've built with the students that have now moved on from Port Phillip Specialist School. It's quite funny. I actually have a few of them that still hit me up on Instagram. We chat every now and then. We go back and forth with a few messages, and it's quite cute, to be honest. I really enjoy sort of keeping in contact with those students. It's pretty funny. They're diehard Collingwood supporters now, so they wish me luck every week. And I'm very thankful to have those relationships. I should get back there soon.
All right, boys, very good. Lots more to discuss. What's going on with the back line? You're going to stop opposition from scoring. We're going to speak about that and a few other things in 1 second. Yes, welcome back. We're joined by the Pies superstars, both of them, Scotty Pendlebury and the hard man, Braden Maynard. We're talking football, Collingwood, everything, life. We have to talk a little bit about the actual football because, I don't know, have the wheels fallen off the Pies? And in particular, what's going on down in that back line? Because you were the best defence in the competition for a big part of this season. And Scotty, teams are getting through you.
Yeah, they are.
So what is happening back there?
Yeah, we're a little bit out of whack on the weekend. Yeah, sort of the last month. We haven't defended as well, definitely, as we would have liked. But, there's some certain areas that we feel like we can control and get back to doing. And, you know, we've gone back to school, as Fly says, this week on our defensive system. We've shined a light on so many things throughout the year that we're doing well and that we need to work on. And, our group's extremely coachable. And whenever we've shined a light on something, we seem to be able to address it pretty quickly. So, yeah, we've spent a bit of time in the lab this week working on our defensive system and how to do it better. And, I feel like it's something that we all know we need to address, because finals football, we've got to be able to defend and then score off the back of that. And, our turnover game's not where we need it to be. So, we'll address that and get to work and then put it in action on Friday night with the Bombers.
Real perspective, Buzzy, because the balls end up coming down on your head. Yep. So what are they putting on enough heat up there? Is the structure falling down? What's been the issue from your perspective?
Well, It comes back to team, and our team defence, hasn't been great, but we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're a really good bunch. We defend really well, and there's just been a few slip-ups the last sort of couple of weeks, but it's very, very easy fix, and I feel like going into the last round, into finals, we'll just tighten a few screws up and we'll be so fine. I trust the boys to be able to get it done.
Have you boys lost any faith? Because you were the team to beat, and now I'm seeing a few cracks. So are you going to be able to deliver when the pressure goes up, Scott? That's the question, because other teams are playing better footy than you guys right now.
And that's our challenge, is to get better defensively. Offensively, we're going, we're doing a lot of things right.
Yep.
We're scoring really well once we go inside. So it's like everyone, there's little challenges and ebbs and flows throughout the season, and ours just are coming at the moment, and we've got to work through it as a group. And as Bruzzy said, I'd be really concerned if we didn't defend well all year, but it's just sort of been the last month we've lost our way a little bit, and now we can readdress, because as you said, we were the best defensive side, so it's not like we don't have the ability to get back to that. As our coach said, you've got to qualify, and you've got to qualify as high as you can on the ladder, and at the moment we've qualified, and we're probably going to end up, I think we can end up no lower than second. Mm-hmm. So we've qualified, given ourselves that chance. And, the challenge for us is not to look too far ahead to that first final. It's to live in the moment and let's get it done. I actually thought the game was a cracking game on Friday night. It was a pretty offensive game. Both sides scored pretty freely. Probably a good one to watch. It wasn't the most bruising game of footy either. It was pretty open and quick under the roof, which is, it's great when you play at Marvel because you get those perfect conditions and the ball moves pretty quickly. But, for probably both sides, we know that we've got to tighten up defensively, and Brisbane would probably be saying the same thing, that we scored too easily. So we've both got to address that. And, looking forward to, Friday night and putting our best brand on the park.
Need to. That's for sure. Before we wind up, Bruzzy, How's Scotty going? Had a very good game at the weekend.
Yeah.
I know he's the grand. I think he's the oldest player in the competition next year.
By far, isn't he? How old are you, Dip?
35.
How's he travelling, you reckon?
He's flying. I can't believe some of the footies he's actually playing. Like he, how long have you been in the system for now, Dip?
18.
18 years.
These boys keep me young.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to see someone go about it the way he does. Like on and off the field, he just dominates. He's one of the best leaders, if not the best leader that I've ever played with. And it's a true honour to play with you, Dip. I've learnt a lot off here, and I can't wait to see what we can do in the coming years and hopefully this year.
Oh, look at that. I feel like grabbing a jack. Grab a jumper, boys. Get in. Let's get out there. I love it. Hey, before we finish, Scotty, so you predicted the future with the video review last week. You remember the Carlton-Melbourne game and the controversy?
Brother, I just said I would hate for this to cost someone a final.
You did?
Something along those lines. I said also that what I hate – in, you know when like you lose a game but you played really well and they're like, oh, we didn't lose because of the VAR.
Yeah.
Quarters one and two weren't good enough.
Mm.
It's like, well, guess what? Quarters three and four, you dominate, and that's football. You don't dominate for a whole game.
Yeah.
I feel incredibly sorry for Adelaide. And the hard thing is there's still going to be a minute 10 on the clock.
Yep.
So, you know, whatever it is, but it's like, so Sydney have a chance, and we've been in that situation before. A minute 10 is a long time, even if you're down, to get back in front. But, yeah, I didn't want to see this situation. And so from my understanding, it wasn't reviewed. That was the big mistake.
Correct.
So the goal umpire is within his right to make a call.
Yep.
He thought it hit the post, but it should be reviewed.
Yes.
And Sydney smartly, I think, did the right thing. Grab the ball and go.
Yeah.
Like, don't sit there and, like, who kicks it in? Get it and go. So the game's just back in motion. But I'd have no qualms if they had to stop play, if that ball's on the wing and be like, nah, that was a goal. We're back to the centre bounce, reset the clock to whatever it is. But, yeah, it's a monumental mistake. Thoughts?
Yeah, I saw yesterday that
Matthew Nix,
that's right. He actually came out last week after the Melbourne Carlton game, and he actually said, I'd hate for that to happen to us.
Yeah.
No score review or whatever, and it turned on us. And then a week later, it actually happened to him, and they lost the game. And, God, it'd be
financially,
so
how much would that cost
you would
Adelaide?
Be so filthy.
Yeah.
So if Adelaide win this week against West Coast and they make a final.
Yeah.
And then they win a final. Like financially, that's like a huge
sponsorships, membership, marketing, all of that. Daisy Thomas, Nathan Brown, Triple M on Sunday said that if that happened at Collingwood, Eddie Maguire would have been, and George F. Brown would have been up at City Hall saying, we want a replay or something like that. Hard to take on the AFL and win that battle. Yeah. But you did predict the future. You said this was going to cost someone a finals berth. And next minute, Crows go down and don't make September. So you're all over it. Maybe they're going to tidy up the system. Maybe that's where the field umpire maybe has to say, no, that looks close.
Well,
Let's go and check.
It's just the
composure.
The big mistake is not reviewing it. Even if Sydney, and I said, like, tactically, like, that was brilliant by them. Get the ball in. If it's ever in doubt, just get it in and try and play on as quickly as you can if it's after a point because the game's just back in motion.
Yep.
But maybe that's something to do. Like, even if the game does go back in motion and if that gets reviewed and it's a goal, game just stops, you go back to the middle, you reset the clock to what it was when the goal was kicked. That's just what it is.
So it was just a bad mistake, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be
before we finish up, how's your shoulder, mate? I saw you a couple of months ago. You were carrying a sore shoulder. You look very brave and courageous, continuing to play. And you must put a lot of effort into your body to play so combative and physical throughout the week. And a lot must go into that.
It does.
On all the other days. But are you okay? Are you still carrying something?
Yeah, no, I'm okay. I've been getting to work sort of every main day in the morning. I'm doing extra gym sessions with a few of the other boys that have dodgy shoulders and just building the strength back up into it. And it is going fine. I did see the surgeon this morning, but got the all clear, which would be good to stay away from surgery in the off season because I had surgery on my left one last off season. And I don't want to do it again. But
so is it the same one or the other one?
It's actually the other one.
Ugh.
So I've got hypermobile shoulders. So it's an interesting one, but I've just got to stay on top of everything with my exercises and strengthening around it. So,
fine. You could potentially avoid surgery at the end of the year, hopefully.
Yeah.
Is that the hope?
Yeah, that is the hope. I think I'll be right.
I think Jezza Cameron is facing a similar situation this week. I think he's been carrying a shoulder thing. Brazzy, you've been fantastic. We are honest in saying, mate, I think every footy fan loves the way you play on the field because you give 100% all the time. You absolutely love your mates. And you've grown and matured and you've been on an incredible journey, which is still 180 games in. You've still got a lot of footy left and we'll enjoy watching you play. Thanks so much for taking some time for the Jock and Journo podcast this
week.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Scotty, you've been fantastic as always.
Thanks, Jay-Z. Thanks, Bros, for coming in, mate.
Thanks for joining us on the Jock and Journo show. We'll catch you next week. Listener.